This is Room in the Trees, a podcast about living a creative life. Room in the Trees is hosted by Trent Reynolds and me, Sabrina Ward Harrison.
Show notes, including pictures, links, video, and more for every episode can be found at roominthetrees.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at Sabrina Ward Harrison and at Trent Reynolds Art. And now, here's this week's episode.
You had back to school night. Was that for the cured girls or for teaching?
So it was 2 weeks in a row. Last week we had two nights back to back that were the girls. So Laura went to both of those while I stayed with the kids. And then the night after that happened, I had a back to school night for the middle school. And then last night was back to school night for the high school. So all those nights I'm out to like 10 o'clock and,
yeah,
you know, so 5:30 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. It's just a really long day.
5:30 in the morning.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. It is a kick.
Well, it's been a few weeks.
I know. You have so many stories to tell. Can you hear me eating cake, or is that going to be a problem? Is my cake
inherent
can be an
hindrance
issue? Yeah.
No.
Okay. How do you feel about yellow cake, by the way?
I love it. I like it.
Like straight out of the box, you know, yep. Like Betty Crocker or whatever brand.
Yeah. My mom didn't really make cake. Like if we had cake, it was a kind of healthy cake.
Really?
Well, I don't even know if it was healthy cake. It was just, we'd have it for birthdays. I remember birthday cakes having the little surprise treats inside the aluminum foil. Do you ever have that where they bake it into the cake?
No, that's fun. What kind of surprises would be in the aluminum foil?
I don't remember. And now that I think about it, I don't think they would bake it because it would probably, the little things would probably melt. It's like deadly melted, like plastic dolls.
Chomp down on this burnt piece of plastic. Thanks, Mom.
Happy birthday.
Bunches of plastic.
It's all like melting in your tongue, mouth.
Yeah, gosh.
Ew. I like yellow cake. What's your favorite kind?
When I'm reaching for the comfort food, just straight yellow. When I was a kid, my mom used to, because there was five boys for the majority of time growing up, and then we had another. There's another boy that came along, but she would just cook en masse and, you know, just trough style type of presentation. So she'd just cook a big old pan of just maybe two boxes of the standard yellow cake mix and just put it on the counter, and you know, throughout the course of the evening we'd just be walking by and grab a chunk.
So
I love just the straight yellow cake, maybe with butter on the top. That's, you know, kind
of butter on the top of the cake.
Yeah,
I have never in my life heard of that. Like,
let me tell you something. Right here, I'm gonna get close to the mic. I want you to pay attention.
Okay.
This butter on the top, and it mixes with that little browned surface, yeah, of the cake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It gets this kind of delicate leather. It's like a leather. Well, I'm not thinking of like cowhide leather. I'm thinking of like a fruit leather, but very, you know, like fruit by the foot fruit leather, not the Trader Joe's fruit leather. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it's got this very pleasing rubbery sponginess. So recently, like within the last year, actually it's probably been about 2 years, started eating donuts at Sidecar Donuts.
Okay.
Have you ever had these before?
No, never heard of it.
Okay, so their kind of signature donut, it's kind of high-end donut. It's like $3 a pop, $3 per donut. So worth it. But their signature donut is a butter and salt donut, and it has that same kind of sweet, salty, leathery, not leathery. Leathery is the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying. Just like mix consolidation of intense, flavors, you know, it's just, it's all right there. Anyway, I think if you get the chance, and I want to just send this message out into the world, Sidecar Donuts, butter and salt donut. Oh my gosh. Oh,
is it side cart or sidecar?
Sidecar. And all the best ingredients they have, they always have at least one gluten-free option, and they're just heavenly. That's so good. Anyway, I'm going to continue eating my yellow cake here for a second.
I had a phenomenal piece of carrot cake that's worth talking about. I actually put it in my Facebook stories yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, Sean's mom. Sean is my love. His mom called me up and said, invited me over for carrot cake. Just carrot cake.
That's awesome. She just said, I got some carrot cake here.
She made some beautiful carrot cake, shredded the carrots, had the golden raisins. Those golden raisins are so good. Mm-hmm. It was best carrot cake, hands down. It had like the edges were crispy. And it had cream cheese frosting, homemade cream cheese frosting. Oh, man, it was so good. And I took a piece home with me and I said, I know I'm going to get up and eat this. I know it. I got up at 5 a.m. ate the rest of it.
Thinking about that carrot cake.
Thinking about the carrot cake. I made it all the way to 5. Usually it's like a 2 a.m. thing. No.
Well, you'll wake up out of a dead sleep like, where's the carrot cake?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Most nights I do. Most nights I need to get up and have a little snack.
Yeah. We've talked about the Midnight Newton.
Newton. Oh, man. I haven't eaten those in a long time.
Yeah.
So I got a little nuts about those. And but it's apple season again. It's leather weather, and this time it is really leather weather because Sabrina has got motorcycle clothes.
No, really?
Yes. I have.
Oh, I got to see a picture. Did you send me a picture of a motorcycle outfit?
I don't think so yet.
This is such a great story. How did you get the motorcycle outfit? Did you go and try things on?
Yes, it was so exciting. I went to Harley Davidson.
I love this story already. Oh, Harley Davidson. Yes. Okay, I'm listening.
So, Sean and I started. Sean's wonderful and he loves motorcycles and he said, so I rode on the back of it, one of his Harleys. And I'm like, this is really, it's not like riding on the back of a, you know, some small dingy, scary motorcycle. It's like a big, it has a seat in the back and like you can lean against the back of it. And my dad said, if you're going to do this, you've got to be suited up. You cannot be riding around without full on stuff. So Sean took me to the Harley Davidson store and was like, let's get you suited up. So I got a great helmet.
Yes.
I got a jacket. I got knee-high boots that have 3 buckles on them. It's a hot look. It is a hot look.
Buckles. Do the boots go over the pants?
Well, they will, yeah. So I was wearing them with just black leggings. So that was just a whole statement. And then I ordered some black leather pants. I got them on eBay and I got them yesterday. This is my thinking. So when my grandmother died, it was actually a year ago this week. She left a folder of images that she wanted to sort of have people go through at her memorial, some sort of memory thing. My grandmother had left these pictures and she had this beautiful marriage to my grandfather for many, many years. He's passed away. But in these pictures, we went through them a month or so ago, and there was a picture of her, a lot of people we didn't recognize. And one of them was this color copy, blown up photo of her in the back of a motorcycle with some man that we have no idea who it is, from taken probably like 6 years ago, which is she was in her 90s. Maybe it was in her 80s.
It was recently. That's awesome.
And it just is sweet because it's not like someone that it was not obviously someone that she was involved with or anything. It was a younger man. But the fact that she wanted this picture of her on the back of a motorcycle to be one of the pictures that we remembered her by was the feeling like life is precious and short. And, you know, it's like ride, like we ride and listen to Johnny Cash and who did we listen to the other night? That was Bon Jovi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Every rose has its thorn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's too much. That is too much.
It has big speakers on it so we can drive and music's just like going.
Oh, it's not in your helmet. It's like.
Mm-hmm. No, it's coming out of the Harley.
Oh, that's even better. That is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, so. My gosh. Next hashtag next phase of life. Stuff. Right. I'm good with that. Goodness. Yeah. So
that's... Did you ever read the book Zen, the Art of Motorcycle Making?
No, but I remember you talking about it being such an influential book for you.
Yeah, it really was. But ever since reading that book, I've wanted to do a like long distance cross-country motorcycle trip.
Yeah.
I think that would be amazing. Well, that is by itself a huge, huge story and a huge chunk of life. But you've, on top of that, is there anything else to the motorcycle story? I don't want to leave out any details there.
No, just that there'll be more of it. Yeah. I don't plan them. Like I don't, as of now, I don't feel like riding my own motorcycle. I just like being on the back. It's a really nice way to spend time together.
Is it, can you talk or is it just listening to music and just cruising?
It's a little bit of both. When you're going fast, you can't really talk, but it's just nice to hold on to him and it's fun. It's really nice. I'm really in love, like big time. It's really, really wonderful.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. yes. Well,
on top of that, you have just recently returned from Italy.
Yeah. I came back. I went away. I came back. And we did the True Living Experience Italia. Great, amazing group of women. And just beautiful to watch. You know, these friendships with women, all different. So it was 6-7 women. Nadia came, who I'd love to have on the podcast, who's a big listener. And she'd come to a retreat of mine in Bali. No, not Bali, in Baja about 10 years ago. And so that kind of propelled her creative life forward. And so I asked her to be my assistant on this trip. And she was just dynamite. She speaks Italian, so she was such a great asset and just so wonderful to be around and such a fantastic support. But just watching these women connect and these friendships happening and just seems like really beautiful lifelong friendships happened.
Awesome. I think I saw pictures from you and from Nadia as well. Just gorgeous landscapes.
Yes.
Sunsets. Yeah.
It was a beautiful location. It's La Misha Fisha. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right. I forget. But it's a reading retreat started by a wonderful man named Clark. And then this woman, Cece, helps. She looks like kind of the girl from Amelie, just sweet. And they would cook these wonderful meals. And it's an old pump house to pump the water through the fields. But it's been beautifully restored and has these big, beautiful rooms that are each filled with hundreds of books and each have their own distinct artists. That's all the work in that room is done by different specific artists. So
it was overall, though, a success and seems like you saw some incredible country and.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think you'll do more trips or is that?
I don't think right now I'm going to schedule anything. I think ideally would love to be able to have some people be able to come here and stay in Madison would be lovely, but I don't think I'm going to have anything on the calendar right now. What I'm excited about is opening up Liberate, seeing what students have been doing in these books I mean, Susie has over 250 pages of her book done, and Emily's just, they're just, books are blooming right and left. So,
and are you seeing, are they posting images of work in progress or?
Yeah, on social media.
That's really cool. And so that event takes place when?
Our kind of gathering, it will be in May here in Madison. And then, the next 2020 Liberate, it's going to open in January. For registration. So the next class of 2020, which I'm excited about to dive into with people. What about you? What's been, is it any deep, confusing life thoughts have you had?
Of course. No. Well, one thing that I feel like I need to bring up, because just for the sake of integrity and something that I've been thinking a lot about, is you challenged me last time to post a just description of where I'm at on the Facebook group. And I didn't do it. And I've been thinking about it. And I can tell you all sorts of excuses why, and life will always be busier than I can manage. But I think it comes down to, not knowing, right? Like, I don't know. Anyway, so I am going to recommit. I had hoped to be able to get that done before you and I spoke today, but it just did not happen. But I am recommitting, and it's something that I really want to do, because I do feel stuck, and I do still feel like I'm kind of at that place that last time we talked. But so in terms of the studio and kind of my vision for where I'd like to go with, you know, my relationship with teaching and making, I feel very much at a standstill, and that's frustrating. But let me tell you something a little happier.
Mm-hmm.
I think I posted on Instagram a little video of the Cricut machine doing one of my iPad drawings. Did you see
that? No, I didn't see it. It's
all right. Have you ever heard of the Cricut machine? Or
no.
Some people?
No.
It's Cricut. It's this crafting, like journaling. What do you call it? What do you call that? When you like have like pictures and little templates and lettering, and there's a word for it. Crafting or. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, though, like when people cut out like little bubbly frames and letters and pictures and kind of the stereotype cheesy photo book type thing.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just that's what the Cricut machine is. I think that's what it's made for, is cutting out stickers and cutting out lettering and stuff like that. But so we've got two of them at the middle school, and they use them to they print. You can print out a color sticker and then have the machine cut out the shape of the sticker, which is really cool. And kids love putting stickers on their laptops or whatever. What I found out, though, is that it also has an attachment that you can put a little pen in it, just a regular fine tip, marker. And it's essentially just like it has back and forth, you know, side to side and back and forth. So, and it can lift the pen up and put it down. So you can put, you can feed it a vector drawing or vector graphic, which is basically just a set of direction and angle instructions that gives the pen a path to follow. So basically on the iPad, I have an application that I use. Actually, Adobe just released a new iPad drawing application called Fresco, which is kind of cool. And it has the ability to, you can use vector brushes and export a vector file that you could then give to the Cricut machine.
Wow.
And it will actually draw the drawing that you made on the iPad, and you can make it big, you can make it small, you can have it multiple colors, you can have it on different, you know, kinds of paper. I printed a drawing out on watercolor paper, and then it's water soluble ink, so you can you can use watercolor and gouache and like paint into it, and it's kind of like been blowing my mind a little bit. And so I've done just so far been experimenting with it, and I've done maybe four or five little scribble drawings, because that's kind of all I've had time for recently. But it's amazing. It's so cool. You do a drawing on the iPad, and you can do a bunch of different copies of it in different colors and paint into them. And, you know, there's just so many cool things you could do. That's something that I've discovered.
See, I think you would be so great at doing these little courses on this stuff. It's just so, it's so great.
It seems like blogging and course, these like mini courses would be like perfect fit for the way that I discover, you know, like just to be able to translate my own personal interests into something that's shareable. But I just haven't figured out how to do that yet. Anyway, but leave that alone, whatever that may be. But this Cricut thing is wonderful. Have you, do you have your phone right now?
Yeah.
Look at Instagram on my art, Trent Reynolds art.
Oh my gosh.
Right? I mean, the drawing's nothing to look at, but you get the potential of it.
Oh my gosh.
How cool is that?
That is super, super cool. You guys listening, we will link to it. And go to Trent Reynolds Art on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah. I'm so enamored with this little machine. And I'm so typically the vectors that you're giving to this machine are really simple, like they're the outlines of letters. So I today printed out another scribble drawing. And it took like, it usually takes seconds to get this thing loaded up, but it took like 15 minutes for my drawing to load, because it's all these like squiggle, scratchy, you know, lines that the computer doesn't quite know what to do with. I'm stressing the limits of this machine.
So when you talk about like vector, like what if you had a brush pen kind of effect?
It's kind of, I'm trying to think of a good way to explain the difference between vector and raster. So like Photoshop deals with raster graphics, which are like you have pixels that make up an overall image, like individual points of color, right? Mm-hmm. And as opposed to a vector, which is just a set of instructions that says go this direction for this long at this curve till you get to this point, and then from that point go to this point. So it's not little pixels that build up into an image. It's just a set of instructions on how to get from here to the next point.
Right.
Does that make sense? So if you make that bigger, if you make a vector bigger, you don't lose any quality. It looks just as sharp as it does small, because you're not changing, you know, trying to take a small number of pixels and spread them over a larger area. You're just making this instructions, you know, just expanding those instructions out. I don't know. That's not a really good way of explaining it. Anyway, so if you use a different kind of mark, like in a drawing app, if you were used to use a brush tool, mm-hmm. it would have to figure out how to translate that essentially into paths that a pen could follow. So you don't really have any kind of, all you have is a line pretty much. A pen going, it's not going to really mimic any brush effects per se.
Okay. All right. It's just a line. Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see the technology being developed that could do something like that, mm-hmm. that could have degrees of force pushing down, and then having a pen that has like one of those watercolor pens that's thick at the top and thin at the bottom, and being able to manipulate that. But this is just like a fine tip, you know, yeah. Sharpie essentially.
But so cool how like loose and, you know, rough it can be.
And that's what I love about the laser too, is it's like you can get it to do these really gestural and like loose drawings so precisely. You know, right. It's like this tension between this like high precision reproducing exactly what's on your screen, but you're reproducing something that's really, you know, imprecise and gestural.
That's what I think is the coolest part about seeing what you're doing with this stuff. It's the abstract quality of how much, Yeah. The combination, juxtaposition of technology and machines with, you know, loose abstract hand gesturing, gestural mark making.
Yeah, that's what I love about it
too. So cool.
Yep.
I love the idea also using the water soluble ink. I'd love to see what you do with the watercolor paper.
Yeah, I'll try to send you a couple pictures of just I printed a couple out and just ran them through water just to watch the lines bleed, and it really cool stuff. So I'll shoot you some images. So that's what I've been up to. And besides that, I got walking pneumonia last week in the middle of all those open houses and just laid me flat so I left school a little bit early on Friday and slept all of Friday afternoon, night, and a good portion of Saturday. I was just out, and just today and yesterday have started to feel better.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a rough couple weeks. It's all good though. I got my cheesecake. I feel so much better with a little bit of yellow cake. You know what I wanted to talk to you about?
What?
And kind of along the same lines as this, you know, this iPad and using this Cricut machine and the lasers. I think artists kind of, and maybe this is rehashing an old conversation, tell me if it is, but I think artists have a natural antipathy, kind of like a natural dislike of machines and mechanized processes. You know, like you've got this... like studio artists, I notice this a lot, like just going through different painting and drawing programs, where we tend to kind of romanticize traditional materials and techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also the case that people that don't like computers and machines and things that look complicated and impersonal, they probably just naturally gravitate towards art anyway. So it's kind of a self-selecting group to a certain degree. But I've definitely noticed over the years that there's this almost, you know, righteous dismissal of anything kind of tech related in a lot of art programs. Like at this current school that I'm at, a lot of the fine arts people just didn't want anything to do with the space because they saw it as like computers and machines, right? And what does that have to do with paint and right. pencils, you know? Like, so I guess I... You are somebody that has also, like similar to me, ridden that line a little bit and I guess traversed over into digital realms. You've done video, you've recorded stuff. Obviously, we're doing this podcast. Do you have any feelings of where, do you have a line that you feel uncomfortable crossing in terms of incorporating digital processes or digital imagery into your art making, or do you see those as two separate things?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think initially, as soon as you start talking about the topic of it, I think fear comes up. I think that, at least in my mind, I'm like, I'm an artist. I don't know how to do the tech. Even going back to art school and the computer and learning about, you know, layouts. And I was like, my mind doesn't think that way. I'm left-handed. I'm right-brained. I can't do it. And so all kinds of fears come up. Like, it's going to take too long. It's going to look really bad. I'm not going to be able to get the look I'm wanting to have. And I think when I finally embraced, like, I don't know how to use this, but I'm going to use it. Quality of like, okay, I want to shoot some stuff and I'm going to use this kind of crappy camera, but I'm filming and I'm, and you know, this lens doesn't work, but whatever, and things like that. I think then interesting work comes from that place. So, but you know, like I finally got an iPad, but I don't yet know how to, I haven't broken. So there it goes again. Like, I don't know how. So, you know, Procreate looks so interesting, but I haven't kind of broken through to go, okay, how can I experiment with this technology?
Right. Right.
I'll get snagged up by something like I can't friggin' get the photo to come in and or something like that. Or I can't delete the photo and they're like, well, screw it. So that's the line I go into is just like, if I'm spending too much time trying to figure something out and I'm just getting frustrated, it pisses me off so much and I don't want to go back and solve it.
How do you think you've been able to overcome that though, with like in other ways, like in making movies, you, were there just not as many points of friction that, that you got stuck on? How did you teach yourself how to make, like, you've done some amazing editing, right?
Yeah. Smoking a lot
and
of
pot. I think
pot.
Your movies.
At the time.
A little substance help. Yeah.
I think at the times that I was making my movies, I was smoking pot. And I think that there was an element of like, I just dropped into the super like, this is cool. I'm totally in. I'm like going with it. And honestly, I think, I don't know. I don't know. That's just a thought I had. Just reflecting back on that time, it was a combination of wonderful things. But yeah.
I remember you showed me those movies though. I'm not remembering specific ones, but there was this thing where you'd have one cut that was a different aspect ratio. So one would be 4:3 and then one would be 16:9. And so you'd have like this shifting of like, you know, black bars on the sides, yeah. And then it would cut to something with black bars on,
yeah.
You know, or it'd be full screen. And it created just this texture and I don't know, broke rules in this really, in a way that meshed really well with the subject of your video. Like it created this flavor that made sense. And I think it's something to kind of what you're saying is like you took it and even though you didn't exactly know what you were doing or the lens wasn't working right or whatever, you just went forward and pushed through and made something with it, you know, to the best of your ability. And there's like this unapologeticness and like intentionality. Uh-huh. Like it feels like you wanted it to be that way, right? Whether or not that's just a representation of where your skill level was at the time or doesn't really matter. Like you owned it in a way that was just as compelling as if you had, you know, been working with film your whole life. Anyway, uh-huh. do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I'd love for, and I feel that myself, like this kind of joy when I bumble through and I make all the mistakes and then I see that this technology do something that I couldn't have done alone and, you know, and make something that's above and beyond or greater than, you know, it's this tool that has empowered me to do something kind of incredible, right? And it's kind of weird, little scratchy drawing, but it's like, I don't know, just being able to use a tool to create like that is
it's exciting. Yeah,
it is. It's, and I'd love for more people to be able to get that feeling and not be so dismissive of like, well, I can't do that. Or that's not really art, or that's not an artist tool, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
What do you do then when you hit these you've got like a limited amount of time, but then you're like, okay, I want to use this machine. And then you can't get it. Some stupid problem with the computers. Like it's not reading the da da da.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, it has to do with setting the like appropriate level of task for yourself. You know, like I had a kid come take private lessons from me one time. And he had obviously never taken a drawing class in his life. And he was talking about this animation that he was going to do. And, you know, he was taking a drawing class online so he could go to animation school and make this animation. And he'd always talk about this animation and how, you know, enamored he was with this idea and how he was going to make it amazing. But he wouldn't do his drawing assignments and he couldn't do his drawing assignments. And he got really frustrated because he couldn't do kind of these simple tasks. And it was, and I think he eventually just didn't go forward with the class and he kind of lost interest. Like he just, you know, fizzled out. And I think there's something in that lesson. Like, so with the lasers, there's a lot of really cool stuff that you could do that's really technical and requires a lot of knowledge and that I would love to be able to do and spend time with. But the reality is I've got my lunch break.
Yeah.
Right. And I've never used a laser before in my life. And there's nobody around here that really knows how to do very complicated stuff. So I've got 30 minutes and what can I do in 30 minutes? You know, and I can figure out how to turn it on and maybe set the laser height correctly. You know, and that's what I've got time for today, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not allowing yourself to get too caught up in what where you're going to end up and being able to do this really cool, complicated thing. It's like, first figure out how to turn on the machine, you know, next figure out how to, or I was thinking about your, like you and Procreate, maybe like even using that app is too much to start with, you know, maybe there's too many buttons to push and settings to learn. And for that, for you really to have, to be able to get to a point where you're excited about what you're doing quick enough for you to maintain your energy and interest, you know, maybe instead just going to the Notes app on the iPad and sketching in the Notes app, you know,
or there's another, right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that that's the right answer for you. Right. I'm just saying like, and then just spending time with the pencil doing, doing that. And is, when you get good at that, maybe you think about how you could do that same thing in Procreate, and then maybe you can start adding bits and pieces on top of that. Maybe add an image in the background, or, you know, whatever the case may be, work with layers. I don't know. I think it's all kind of the same problem is when it becomes like you get out in front of yourself and you don't have, you don't have enough skill or knowledge how to get to where you're trying to go, you're going to lose interest and in steam and just kind of give up. So like finding little projects and little things that you can complete and actually do realistically in the amount of time and with the skills that you currently have. I don't know. I think that's the trick with technology.
Yeah. I think that's a good one. That's good. We covered it. So you're going to post something in the thing, the group.
Yes.
I'm going to do some experimenting with my iPad and play around with something and send it your way.
Good. And I don't know if I've mentioned, there's another app called Paper.
Yeah, I did download that.
That's another one that's really simple user interface, and the tools are pretty cool too.
Oh, right.
Well, are you going to go ride?
No.
Going to put on you're not going to try on the outfit? You're not going to show Sean the new duds?
Well, he hasn't seen the pants yet.
He hasn't seen the pants yet.
Yeah, I know.
All right. What?
I'll just show him the pants. I've got my painting pants on right now. He went to my studio for the first time today.
Awesome. That is another conversation for another time. I would love to hear what his thoughts are about your work. And
well, we're doing our life. We're doing it.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Please help us grow our audience by rating us or writing a review on iTunes. To do that, you can use the link roominthetrees.com/iTunes.
You can follow us on Instagram at Sabrina Ward Harrison and at Trent Reynolds Art.
And check out the show notes at roominthetrees.com, where you can also get in touch if you have any ideas you'd like to share.
Rate us on iTunes and share Room in the Trees with a friend. And now go and...
go and experiment. Go and experiment and play around with something that's maybe with technology that you don't know how to use, and just mess around with it and make something.
Yeah, you got a phone.
You got a phone.
You got an iPad.
Yep.
You got a computer. Do something you've never done before and just poke at it. See if you can make it bend to your will a little bit.
I'll bend something to my will, that's for sure.